in 7 now, where we've gotten to is the Israelites. They're getting very close to asking for that king, but so far we haven't gotten there yet. They've went into battle with the Philistines. The Philistine captured the Ark of the Covenant, and they were having all kind of problems with it, so they're like, let's get rid of this thing. And so last week we ended with that, where they sent it back to the Israelites. And so in 7:1 it says, the men of Kirjath Jearim came for the ark of the Lord and took it to Abinadab's house on the hill. They consecrated his son Eleazar to take care of it. Time went by until 20 years had passed. It's, you know, this happens sometimes in the Bible. You're like, wonder what happened in those 20 years. We don't know. The author doesn't give us anything. But 20 years have passed since the ark had been taken to Kirjath Jearim. Then the whole house of Israel began to seek the Lord. Now, we don't know, but we've got to at least probably presume or assume a little bit here that they were upset when they didn't have the ark. The ark comes back into their possessions because the Philistines are like, we don't want that thing. There's 20 years that passed by. There's no wars that we're speaking of. So they're living in relative peace as far as we know. And so 20 years fly by. And it says, then the house of Israel began to seek the Lord. We don't know if something changed. We don't know if things started not going our way. As humans, it's the easiest, especially I'll see it in my own life. When things are going well, it's very easy for us to forget about God's blessings in our life. It is very easy for us to get away from our daily time with Jesus because we're busy and, man, business is just booming. I've started this new business, or I've started this new job, and the kids are busy, and they're just playing a lot of ball, and I'm busy. And I've heard people tell me, even this last month, I'm busier at retirement than I ever was. And so it's like it really never ends, no matter our age. But things are going well in our lives, and then when the storms enter, as you know, we've talked about on Sunday, it's like then we want to say, oh, well, it's time to spend time with Jesus now, because I need him. We don't know that. We don't know that that's what's happened. But we know it says then, after 20 years, the whole house of Israel began to seek the Lord. Samuel told them, if you are returning to the Lord with all your heart, get rid of the foreign gods and the Ashtoreths that are among you. Dedicate yourselves to the Lord and worship only him. Now, any time, or just about any time, when we look at Israel addressed like this, it's looking at the nation. It's not really a salvation issue here, but it is more of a worship issue. Now, for us, we do take comfort in this, in the fact that we, as at least believers, as Baptists, believe the persevering of the saints, and then once saved, always saved, and that somebody can be a child of God and be wayward for 20 years, but then return to the Lord. But here, what it is it's symbolizing a heart of worship. So their worship, even today, as I talked about us, how we get in our routines and everything's going well, and we neglect to worship. That doesn't mean that we don't come to church. That means we come in here and we're thinking about other things, and we go through the routine and all those things. We aren't truly worshiping. And always remember that you don't have to worship in the church. You can worship in your car. You can worship in your flower beds. Most of you probably don't like worshiping in your flower beds, but some do. That's an easy place for my wife to worship. You know, she's alone with her flowers, and it's easy for her. Some of you can worship at the beach. You just look at God's majesty. Some of you, as we see the picture there, can worship in the mountains very well. Some of you can worship driving down the road as you cut the world off. We don't have to be in here to worship. But what Samuel's saying is, for 20 years, basically, they haven't been worshiping God. They've been worshiping other things. And he said, so if you really are returning to the Lord, and he says there, with all your heart, then get rid of the foreign gods that live among you and dedicate yourself to the Lord and worship him only. Now, there's, again, and we could break this down all day, but in order to not just bogged down in chapter 7. We'll look at a couple here that he says you do it with all your heart. Now, we never will fully get there on this earth. We understand that. But we should be striving for that daily. As I was praying even this morning, and I was like, Lord, and of course this is where pride comes up. Lord, you're helping me with that. I'm doing a lot better with that. But over here, I'm not doing so well. And so that's part of the whole heart. And, you know, we want to seek God in everything, in our finances, in our attitudes, in our work, and our, as we raise our children or interact with our grandchildren, we want to do all that stuff with a heart that's fully dedicated to serving Jesus Christ. Well, he says the only way you do that is to get rid of the false gods, get rid of the idols that are in your life. And so then I was praying this afternoon about some stuff, and I was like, well, I'm doing better here, but I've still got this in my life. And in and of itself, it would not be sin, but when it becomes something that we think about so much, it is definitely, or definitely can be sin in our own life. And you know, again, we look at idols in the Old Testament, we look at graven images, we look at things like pottery and flowers and things like that, but for us today, we don't worship those things, we worship different things. Worship is anything that gets more time and adoration than our relationship with Jesus Christ. So for us, we would think, well, I never worship TV, but if you spend more time and energy watching TV, I'm not saying that, you know, if you read your Bible 10 minutes a day, you can't watch 11 minutes of TV. I'm not saying that, but if TV consumes you, if sports consumes you, if your job consumes you, that you never take time throughout the day to reflect on what God wants you to do, and you know, as far as your everyday activities, then you definitely have an idol issue. We want to very quickly dismiss a lot of things, and I know many of you in here know that Lori and I are looking to build a house, if it ever gets there. I don't know, it seems like it's the longest process ever. But as you know, as we're holding up, I was just praying the other day, God, maybe this isn't what you want. Maybe this is what you want. So give us wisdom to do that, because I don't want this house to be an idol in my life and something that we look forward to and worship and all these things. So maybe you're slowing us down for a reason. But we look at things and we think, oh, well, that's not an idol. There's no way that could be an idol. But anything that keeps us from a full heart, totally dedicated to God, then is by definition an idol. And so if we can't pray about something or we can't lay something down, then we have an idol issue. If God comes to you and you take whatever it may be your favorite vacation, it may be your favorite vehicle, it may be your favorite hobby, and if you could not lay that down right now to do something else for Jesus, then you probably got an idol issue. So Samuel says, if you are returning to the Lord with all your heart, get rid of the foreign gods that are among you, dedicate yourselves to the Lord and worship only Him. Not all these other things, not sports, not recreation, not leisure, not entertainment. Then He will rescue you from the hands of the Philistines. So there's that qualifier. If you fully give yourself over to the Lord, then He will rescue you. Now, again, we know our Father in heaven loves us, and we know He wants what's best for us. And therefore, sometimes, as I've said, He has to get us off things. He has to bring things out of us. He has to sift us, as He told Peter there. But He says, then He will rescue you. Now, we don't like the then. We want God to rescue us first, and then we'll turn. But what God is saying is, if you will turn to Me, and as I've learned in my own life, when you get in those storms many times, or most times when you're in the real storms, sports doesn't matter, and all those other things that we think matter don't matter, and that is when God's got our attention, when we do turn to Him. He says, then He will rescue you from the hands of the Philistines. So, what did they do? The Israelites removed the Baals and the Ashtoreths and only worshiped the Lord. So, before we go any further and kind of move on to the next point, you know, if somebody were to ever stumble on the website and listen to this, but for the rest of you here tonight, just ask yourself that question. Is there something in my life that God may be pointing out that I need to remove? I I don't know. I don't know where you're at. Maybe it is something. As I was studying this, I just thought that for a lot of people, we are entertained to death in this country. And not just entertainment, not just on the TV that I mean. I mean, it's like we're constantly doing something. Whether it's a school event or a sporting event or on TV, we're constantly moving and going somewhere and doing something. And it seems like that we probably, if there's anything we need to remove, there's probably in that area of our life. But just ask yourself that tonight. Is there something that I need to remove so that I can worship only the Lord? Maybe it's, again, something that's distracting you in the morning. For me, it's pretty simple. And I actually didn't even mean to have it with me. It's usually in there, but it's this. And I have to, it's my phone. It's not bothering me now, but it's, you know, I can't have it anywhere in the room when I start reading and doing meditation because it goes off and I look at one thing. And it can be a decently important text. I mean, it could be from Lori. It could be from Mandy or something at work. And I could look at that one text and respond to that. And then here comes another text in. And then I'm done for 20 minutes because I'm responding to everybody. So the best thing for me is just put it away and put it completely away. And that's one of the things that I have to remove from my life, not all the time, but just so I can have that time of worship. For you, I don't know what it may be. It may be that you just got to go somewhere, get away from people. So Samuel said in verse 5, "Gather all Israel at Mizpah, and I will pray to the Lord on your behalf." When they gathered at Mizpah, they drew water and poured it out in the Lord's presence. They fasted that day there, and they confessed, "We have sinned against the Lord and Samuel." I'm sorry, against the Lord. And Samuel began to lead the Israelites at Mizpah, and they're judged. So if you're sitting there saying, "Well, I don't have any idols in my life. There's nothing I worship other than God," then maybe we need to do this. Maybe we need to fast and pray and just confess this, that, "Lord, I'm full of pride. I can't think of any sin in my life at this point. I can't think of any idols." It was pretty easy for me to figure out some idols as I was studying this. But the key is repentance, not just confession, but repentance. And so they fasted and they prayed. When you get alone with God, when you get alone with the Word of God, when you get alone and spend time with Jesus, if you say, "Lord, just please," as David said in the Psalm, "point out everything that offends you, all the sin in my life." If you get alone and do that, spend a day of fasting and prayer and confession, God's going to show you what He wants to do in your life and work on your life, or maybe He's changing in your life. So they did that. Again, maybe that's something you need to do. When the Philistines heard that the Israelites had gathered at Mizpah, the rulers marched up toward Israel. When the Israelites heard about it, they were afraid because of the Philistines. The Israelites said to Samuel, "Don't stop crying out to the Lord our God for us so that He will save us from the hand of the Philistines." Now, after 20 years, they're like, "Hey, we need God to help us." Then Samuel took a young lamb and offered it as a whole burnt offering to the Lord. He cried out to the Lord on behalf of Israel, and the Lord answered him. Samuel was offering the burnt offering as the Philistines drew near to fight against Israel. The Lord thundered loudly against the Philistines that day and drew them into such confusion that they fled before Israel. Then the men of Israel charged out of Mizpah and pursued the Philistines, striking them down all the way on a place below Beth Kar. Now, don't confuse this, all right? This is what God is doing in this situation. He's teaching Israel a lesson about being totally dependent upon Him and getting this sin out of their life, this idols out of their life, and then He will fight the battle for them. Now, God's Word speaks to us. Most of us are not going into military conflict. What it does, what it says for us is this: get the sin out of your life, confess, fast, pray, ask God to do that, get the idols out of your life, ask God to take over your life, and then when you do, He will fight those battles for you. And I've learned it in my own life, because when we're walking in pride, we want to fight those battles, right? And it's amazing. I don't know how it just works out, because that's the way God works. When I'm walking in the Spirit, things seem to not bother me as much. But when I'm walking in the flesh and somebody talks about me, I want to fight back. Not physically, but I just want to say something back. Or I want to do this, or I want to retaliate, or I want to get my opinion in. If somebody's arguing on a text or online, I always got to get my opinion in. But when I'm walking in the Spirit, it's like, I don't care about that argument, or I don't care about this, and I don't care about that. And we let God fight our battles. And I've had people say, well, they're mad at you about this. And I'm like, I don't really care. There's nothing I can do to change their mind. And so just let them think like that. And so when we do that, when we confess, when we get sin, when we get idols out of our life, and we let God do the fighting for us, then we have this peace. And we're a lot better off. And so when we do that, then we move forward. Afterwards, Samuel took a stone and set it upright between Mizpah and Shin. He named it Ebenezer, explaining, the Lord has helped us to this point. All right, we'll play interaction for 10 seconds. Who wants to guess where that is? It's in a song, in a hymn. It's the old hymn. I figured one of y'all or Adam might have to get this one. Here I raise my Ebenezer. Come, what's the name of it? Come thou fount of every blessing. Here I raise my Ebenezer. And the point of this is what an Ebenezer is. When next time you hear that song, y'all can tell Coach or Haley or Charity to sing it. When they sing that, the Ebenezer is a sign that it's a memorial that God was faithful. So when we sing that, here I raise, I'm not going to sing it, so you're good. Here I raise my Ebenezer. That's what that's saying, that God was faithful in that hymn. So when afterwards, and this is where the hymn writer got it from, Samuel took a stone and set it upright between Mizpah and Shin. And he named it Ebenezer, explaining, the Lord has helped us to this point. So the Philistines were subdued and did not invade Israel's territory again. I was reading in my journal today, one of the things that people that have helped me through the last 6 months told me is, like, journal, write it down. When you're having problems, when you go through anxiety and depression, write it down. One guy even said, make a line in the middle. He said, write down everything you're feeling, and then go over here and write what God's word says about that. He says, then guess which one you're supposed to believe? Throw yours away every time. He said, because God's word never changes. He goes, but keep up with it. He goes, your emotions are going to change. One day you're going to be anxious. One day you're going to be depressed. One day you're going to be depressed about this. One day you're going to be anxious. He said, it's totally different. He said, but God's word is never changing. So today I was reading back. I actually was having a good day, but I just happened to be thumbing back through some of my journals and over the last few months, and I it was just interesting how I read that and specifically wrote out how God had gave me victory in some of those things. And it's just amazing how God works out. I was studying this tonight and I was like, there's an Ebenezer. That's a memorial. That's a sign. So as believers, how do we do this? We draw back to where God has done this. We think back to the times in our life where God was faithful. For some of you that are old enough, God was faithful with my children because they're adults now and they've done this. God was faithful there. For some of you on this side of the room that have younger children or may not, you just think God was faithful here in my job. God was faithful there, and God's going to be faithful again. He's going to take care of us. But when we get what the devil wants us to think is God's not going to take care of you. He's not fighting this battle for you. But when we do these things, when we confess our sin, when we get the idols out of our lives, when we repent, when we let God do the fighting for us, then we can look back and see these memorials, these victories that the Lord has helped us. The Lord's hand was against the Philistine all of Samuel's life. The cities from Ekron to Gath, where they had taken from Israel, were restored. Israel even rescued their surrounding territories from Philistine control. There was also peace between Israel and the Amorites. Samuel judged Israel throughout his life. Every year he would go on a circuit to Bethel, Gilgal, and Mizpah, and he would judge Israel at all these locations. Then he would return to Ramah because his home was there, and he judged all Israel there. He had built an altar to the Lord there. So we get to this point, and what's going to happen in 2 weeks is we're going to see Israel demand a king. And it's like the same thing. You're like, listen, you idiots, God was just faithful to you. He just won the battle. You just had a memorial. But as I've said 100 times, we're guilty of the same thing. We're guilty of, Lord, I just help me and I won't do this again, and we go right back to it. So how do we combat that is true confession, true repentance, and get these things out of our lives that have no meaning, and or at least diminish some of those. And as Adrian Rogers says, talking about the sacrifice in the Old Testament system, they had to have these hooks on them, because when they would throw the meat, the sacrifice up there, the blood and all that stuff, it would run down the altar if they didn't have these hooks with these whatever call coming out of them. He said, and for us, those hooks that keep us on the altar are our time alone with Jesus in prayer. And that's the only thing that keeps us there. So wherever you're at in your walk with Jesus, hopefully Holy Spirit spoken to you tonight and maybe revealed something to you. As always, I'll stick around. And if nobody wants to talk, then I won't stick around. We'll get to the kingship next week, or the asking for a king. Let me pray for you. Father, we love you. Thank you for this, the people that are here, and I pray a blessing on their life. Thank you for being good to us, Father. We all have sin in our life. We have pride. We have idols. We have things that keep us from you. I know there are some in here that are walking closer to Jesus than others. Even for them, Father, there's probably something they need to confess and repent of tonight. Help us to all do that. Help us see our need for you, Lord Jesus. We thank you for loving us. Thank you for being good to us. For us, in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.